Somebody built a pricing database in two pull requests, and I want to watch the rows actually move.
Then we start from one table and let it break. Simplest thing that earns the name.
Pricing id timestamp price.
That table exists. It's called prices. It is exactly those three columns, and it's the end of the chain rather than the start.
Why the end?
Because 14 exchanges are shouting a different number for the same asset in the same second.
Then I keep all of them, I add a venue column.
And now a reader asks what Solana costs and gets 14 rows back. So it's two tables, raw prices where the venue is part of the key, prices where the venue is gone.
One row per venue per second going in, one row per second coming out.
That is the entire shape of it. Everything else is how you get from the first to the second without doing something stupid.
You said four tables.
Two more, both tiny. Venue waiting is a venue id and a wait, with a check that the wait is above zero, and a missing row counts as one.
And the fourth?
Pricing graph. Parent pricing id, and that is the whole table. It says a pool and an exchange market are the same market.
Not the same asset.
Completely different sentence. Park it, we come back to it.
So how does raw prices become prices?
In the first pull request, brute force. Every minute, take the last hour, group by pricing id and timestamp, write the mean back.
An hour of every asset every minute.
Whether anything moved or not. 2 seconds changed and it rewrote 3,500.
So that's the thing the second pull request fixes.
With one extra table and one quite clever statement, watch a single tick land.
Go on.
Binance prints Solana against Tether at 142.31, 28 seconds past the minute. The feed holds it for a second, then writes.
One row into raw prices.
Pricing id SOL underscore USDT venue id Binance. Timestamp 28 past. Price 142.31.
Right, and the same statement does something else.
From the rows that actually landed, it writes into a second table called dirty prices.
Show me that row, what are the columns?
Three of them, pricing id, min timestamp, max timestamp. So the row reads, SOL underscore USDT, 28 past, 28 past.
Arrange 1 second wide.
It's a note. It says whatever the prices table currently claims about this asset across that span is now wrong.
Then OKX prints at 31 past.
Same pricing id, so the queue does not grow a second row. It widens the row that's already there. Least of the mins, greatest of the maxes.
So the note now reads 28 to 31.
One row per asset, no matter how many ticks arrive.
What if a venue resends me something I already have?
Then the insert changes nothing, the returning clause hands back nothing, and the queue doesn't move at all.
So the queue only ever holds real work.
That's the property worth paying for.
And that's the whole difference from the loop, isn't it?
The loop had to guess what might have changed. This one gets told by the only thing that knows.
Who reads it?
The aggregator. Separate binary wakes on an interval, a minute by default, and the first thing it does is take a batch off that queue.
Reads the row and does what with it?
Deletes it.
Deletes the work.
Select for update, skip locked, delete returning. The delete is how it claims. The range is in its hands now and out of the table.
What happens to a feed that writes while it's holding that?
Writes a fresh row into an empty queue. Nothing collides, nothing gets clobbered, no range gets lost.
And if the aggregator falls over halfway through?
The delete and the recompute are one transaction, so the rollback puts the row straight back.
How much does it take in one go?
500 pricing ids a batch, then round again until the queue comes back empty.
Now tell me what it actually understands from those three columns.
For Solana against Tether, every second from 28 past to 31 past, and 60 seconds beyond that, the aggregate is stale, recompute it.
Second by second.
For each second, look back 60 seconds inside raw prices. Take each venue's most recent print in that window, multiply each by its weight, and divide by the weights.
So at 31 past, it might be averaging a Binance price from 28 with an OKX price from 31.
Both still live, so both count. That's what the window is for.
And where does the answer go?
One row into prices, pricing id that second one price, no venue column at all.
And if there's already a row sitting on that second?
It gets overwritten, and that's the entire trick. The second is the key, so recomputing is just writing a better number to a key that already exists.
Better by how much in our example?
Before the OKX print, that second averaged one venue and said 142.31. Afterwards it averages two and says 142.295.
So the row doesn't move, the number under it does.
And it does that for every second in the range. Four dirty seconds becomes 64 rows of output because of the tail.
Most of which are the same number as the row already sitting there.
Which is why the upsert only writes when the value is genuinely different.
So the writing stops the moment nothing is changing.
And when the sweep finishes, the queue is empty. The aggregate is right, and nobody recomputed an hour of anything.
That is a much better machine. Go back a step, though. Two venues in the same second land in the same bucket.
Landing together is the point. The timestamp is truncated to a whole second, so venues meet there. That collision is the join.
Then Binance prints twice inside that 1 second.
Now one of them has to win, and there's a fourth column that decides. Observed at the venue's own clock with the milliseconds on it.
Put that in the key and you're done.
Put that in the key and the bucket splits, and your venues stop meeting each other.
Right, so it sits outside the key.
It's a referee, not part of the identity. The upsert overwrites a bucket only when the incoming observed at is newer than the one already there.
So a message that got stuck in traffic can't stamp on a fresher price.
It cannot drag a second backwards. That is the entire job of that column.
Why 60 seconds though? Why a window at all?
Because the first version grouped on the exact timestamp. Binance at 29, Coinbase at 30.
Different rows, they never average with each other.
And each of those seconds is one venue's price wearing an aggregate's clothes.
Whereas the window catches both of them.
A price at a moment becomes every venue that has printed in the last minute, waited, averaged.
And a venue that's gone quiet.
Falls out of the window. It isn't publishing, so it doesn't get a vote.
And when they've all gone quiet?
No row at all. The price is undefined and the table simply has a hole in it.
Rather than a dead number pretending to be current.
Which is exactly why the sweep runs 60 seconds past the last tick. The decay gets written down as venues drop out one by one.
How big does raw prices get doing this?
Big, so it's cut into pieces. Raw prices into a partition per hour, prices into a partition per day.
Made by migration.
Made on the way past. The feed creates the hour before it writes into it. The aggregator creates the days it's about to touch, both under a lock so two of them can't race.
And deleting old data.
Drop the partition. No delete, no vacuum, nothing to schedule.
How much of this is actually running as processes?
Two binaries. The feed ships as 15 deployments off a single image, one per venue, and there's one aggregator.
I'll take that as read.
The only part that matters later is Solana's venue id. On an exchange, the venue is a name, like Binance. On Solana, it's the address of the individual pool.
Of which there are an enormous number.
And venue waiting holds one row per venue.
So waiting Solana at all means writing a row per pool.
That's the design objection worth writing on the review.
Then let me ask the awkward ones, what writes venue waiting?
Nothing.
What writes pricing graph?
Nothing, both have generated insert methods, and not one caller in the branch.
So every venue weighs one, and that carefully weighted mean is a plain average of whoever turned up.
Correct.
What reads prices? IV.
Nothing reads it. There's a generated getPrice method with no caller, and outside the new package nothing in the repository imports the pricing database at all.
All that machinery and the table at the end of it has no audience.
None today. It doesn't touch the vendor tables, it doesn't touch market data, it doesn't dual write anything, and every existing job is byte for byte what it was.
Which is why it's safe to merge and why nothing happens when you do.
Both of those are true at the same time.
And in production,
all 16 deployments sit at zero replicas, with a comment saying the database provisioning lands outside this repository.
So the whole thing runs beautifully somewhere nothing is switched on.
That's fair, and it's stated in the file rather than quietly left out.
Last one, what does it say Bitcoin is worth?
BTC underscore USDT.
That's a quantity of Tether, not dollars.
There's no dollar conversion anywhere in it.
So the table everything is supposed to read can't answer the question everything will ask it.
Not yet, and I don't think that's a corner he cut. It's a piece nobody handed him.
The queue, the window, the referee column, that's all finished work.
Four tables that earn their place, one statement that enqueues its own work, and nobody on the other end.